On this rainy day. It was just mentioned, we're wrapping up the series on women, and who we're going to be taking a look at this morning is from the book of Esther and how God used this young Jewish orphan. She was an orphan. From a very obscure position to a very prominent position. But before I begin, I want to read this verse to you from Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. It says, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate." How many say amen? You know, the job of a woman is not an easy one. We wear multiple hats, wives, mothers, daughters, sisters. Some of us are caretakers of our parents. So it's not an easy job. How many remember Cliff Notes when you were in school? Okay, yeah. Kind of dates us a little, right? Considering what technology is today. I grew up with Cliff Notes, and this is what I want to do this morning. I want to give you a quick summary of the book of Esther, the beginning part of it, and then we can anchor ourselves in what we will be reading today from God's Word. Now, the story begins with King Xerxes, right? And he's kind of like a big shot. This is the third year of his reign, and he has a very wealthy kingdom. There's great honor in his kingdom. So he just decides to throw a party for 180 days. Have you ever been to a party for 180 days? I mean, this was a wealthy kingdom. He wanted to display his wealth, the majesty of his kingdom. But then that's not enough, because then he has an after party. Do any of you recall an after party? Yeah, I have to confess, I used to do some after parties back in the day. So now he has this after party for 7 days, and it's the all you can eat and all you can drink party, right? So now you can imagine, after 7 days of everyone eating and drinking, okay, they're all blasted, they're all drunk, and on the seventh day he gets this big idea, because he's a little bit of a show off. He says, you know what, I want to bring my wife now. I sort of like want to parade her. So he requests for Queen Vashti, and she outright refuses. She's like, no way, no how am I showing up. So she refuses, and then this becomes a big problem for him, because now she's a bad example to the rest of the women in the kingdom. So he consults his advisors. His advisors give him counsel, and he says, get rid of her. She's no good. No good. So he gets rid of her, and now a decree goes out for a search for a new queen. And in this search, he wants the young, beautiful virgins, and along comes Esther. So Esther gets pulled in with the big crowd of all the young women there and under his kingdom. And, you know, I've never really had a spa day. After reading this, I feel like I'm going to request a spa day, because she has a year. She gets a full year, 6 months of this, 6 months of that, okay? And now she's brought before the king. The Bible says that he's totally attracted to her, more than any other woman there. So now he chooses her as his queen. Now, she was an orphan, so she was raised by really her cousin, but he played the role of an uncle for her. His name was Mordecai. And Mordecai tells her, when you go into his palace, do not reveal who you are. Do not say you're Jewish. Don't say where you come from. Do not reveal your nationality. So this is kept silent. In the meantime, all right, there's something else brewing, because life is like that, right? You're dealing with this, and then something else happens over here, and then when that gets done, something else comes about. So soon after, the king wants to honor one of his high commanders, one of his officials, and he elevates him to a big high position of great honor. And the king says to everyone, when you see Haman, you are to kneel down, bow down, and honor him. Everyone. Now, Mordecai hears about this, and he goes too. No way, no how. Because he's a Jew, you see, and this would not permit him to do that. Because he was only going to worship one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So he refuses. And then, you know, there's always some instigators. You know, when someone kind of takes a different position, then, you know, the waters begin to get stirred. So now the other officials are saying, like, wait a second. He's not going to bow down, Haman. What are you going to do about it? So Haman devises a plot against Mordecai. And if we can get that first slide. Do we have that first slide? We do have it. Okay. Now it says, now when Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was enraged. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Exodus. So here we see Haman. He becomes an enemy now of God's people. Okay? And it angers him. So he devises this plot to get them all killed. He comes before the king. The king approves it and is sent out through all the provinces. On this such date, all the Jews will be destroyed. This was a genocide. This was doomsday. So now Mordecai hears about this. And we can have that slide up. And let's read Mordecai's response. Now, when Mordecai learned of all that had been done, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the city, wailing loudly and bitterly. But when he went only as far as the king's gate, because no one clothed in sackcloth was allowed to enter it. In every province to which the edict and the order of the king came, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting, weeping, and wailing, many laid in sackcloth and ashes. So Mordecai had made an enemy. How many of you realize this morning that we have an enemy? His name is Satan. His name is the devil. The Bible speaks about that we are in a spiritual warfare, but not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in the dark world, in the unseen world, evil spirits in the heavenly places. Paul speaks that about that in Ephesians. But here we see that Mordecai has made Haman his enemy because he would now bow down and worship him. And I want to tell you this morning that as believers, we worship the Lord. And when you've decided to follow Jesus Christ, you put a mark on your back. And you know what that mark is? The mark of the cross. And you've made Satan your enemy. He is our adversary. But let's take a look at Mordecai. It's kind of a strange thing, right, what he's doing? To the natural eye, it's very strange. And as I was reading this, I thought to myself, what would it look like if someone would go out to this little park here where the gazebo is on Plandom Road, and they tear off their clothes, they put on sackcloth, and then they put ashes. That was really external. But Mordecai did that to demonstrate what was really internally going inside of him. That tearing of his clothes, his heart was torn. These were God's people. These were his brothers and sisters. His heart was torn. He was out there in the city gate where everyone can see him going in and coming out and saying, folks, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. Something's got to change. Something's got to give. But then it says that the people joined him too. Do I have that part there? I haven't read that part yet. So now he has sackcloth. And sackcloth is made out of burlap. So it's irritating to the skin. He would find no comfort in knowing that this edict had gone out to destroy God's people. It says he wailed bitterly, bitterly. He says, and then the Jews joined him too. So here we see Mordecai, the catalyst for this movement to see God come. Even though God is not mentioned, the inference is made there that they were crying and weeping and calling on God. Mordecai had let out a war cry, a battle cry. God help us, save us from sure destruction. But it wasn't just him. Now the people joined, and it was like an army out there. So can you imagine me going out there, and then all of a sudden I'm wailing, I'm crying, right? And then people begin to gather. All the Jews see him, and they gather, and it's like an army begins to form. And they're crying out and saying, something's got to give. It was a war cry. It was a battle cry. And this was their weapon of offensive, prayer. You know, a lot of us are always on the defensive. And listen, not to belittle anyone, because I've been there. I've been there where the enemy is just attacking and you want to feel sorry for yourself and you go into this pity party and you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen next and everything. That's like you're just sitting there and allowing the enemy. God has called us to rise up and stand because we are children of God. And then we take prayer and we wield it. We push back in prayer. Because this is a spiritual warfare. This is not an actual war like we have here. But then you say to yourself, wow, that's pretty strange, right? All this crying, all this wailing. I want to read to you Hebrews 5:7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who can save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Jesus, Son of God, Son of Man. I'm not making this up. I just read to you Hebrews 5:7. This is Jesus. You know, when Jesus was on earth, he faced many challenges. He had the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They were always trying to trap him. Like, you're healing people on the Sabbath. You know, who does he say he is? He's a false Messiah. And he would retreat and call out on God. And says, and sometimes those prayers, he was crying. He says fervent. They were fervent. If we can change the other slide. Well, I'm sorry, we don't have that slide yet. If you can put up the next slide. So Jesus himself would pray like this. You know, it says that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed in such a way that it was like he was sweating. I mean, that's fervent prayer. That's intense, sweating. Have you ever prayed in such a way where you get up and you're like sweaty? Not nice. Ephesians 6:18 says this. After you put on the whole armor of God, because we're in a spiritual battle, he says this. Pray in the Spirit in all occasions with all kinds of prayer. This is a different kind of a prayer. This is a battle cry prayer. This is a war cry prayer. This is not the kind of prayer that, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. This is not the kind of prayer that you say over a meal. This is the kind of prayer that you pray when you are in fierce battle for your marriage. When you're in fierce battle for your child. When you're in fierce battle for your health. You know, my husband and I, we lead the prayer ministry here every Tuesday. I cannot begin to tell you the stack of prayers that we get. Salvation, my child, finances, lost a job, mental illness, my father, my brother, my mother, my wife, my son, unemployment, financial crisis. This is the kind of praying that we say because something's got to give. Something's got to change. And now we see Mordecai leading this prayer movement right there outside. And let's see what happens. What Mordecai was doing is, What Mordecai was doing is he was bringing all of heaven down on earth. all of God's power, all of God's resources, all of God's authority, which we have in Christ Jesus. As like my husband said earlier, we are the body of Christ. He's the head. But he gave us the authority to pray and bring heaven. Jesus taught his disciples, right? When they asked him, Jesus, teach us how to pray. He says, and pray in this way, let your kingdom come and let your will be done on heaven as it is on earth. So we can pray all of heaven down on our situation. How many say amen?
Amen.
We can pray all of heaven's resources, that storehouse that God has for us. Jesus says, you have not because you ask not. But ask of me, ask in my name. Ask the Father. And let's see what God does. So here Mordecai is praying. He's leading the people in prayer. Okay? And Esther now is totally bewildered. Okay? And she sees that Mordecai now is right there in the plaza. And she sends one of her attendants to him and says, listen, bring him this clothes. Have him change those clothes. You know, he has to remove those clothes. And he refuses. He says, no, I'm not going to change my clothes. Because you know what? Those were kind of like his battle fatigues. You know, there's certain clothes that you wear. There's certain uniforms that you wear when you are in the military to do battle. And he refuses. So then she sends the head eunuch and tells the eunuch, please ask Mordecai, why is he behaving like this? Like, what's going on? So Mordecai tells the eunuch. The eunuch comes back and reports to Esther and tells her what's going on, that the Haman had plotted this plan to destroy all the Jews. The king had approved it, and now there's a decree sent out to kill all the Jews. So now Esther response is no can do. I'm not going, because there's a law that says you cannot see the king unless you have been requested. And I haven't seen him in 30 days. He has not even looked for me. So she's afraid. She's afraid. So let's pick up now where Mordecai responds to Esther. It says, when Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think because you are in the king's house that you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Then Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went away and carried out all Esther's instructions. So now something switched inside Esther. Remember, she was like, I'm not going. I am not going. But when Mordecai and the Jewish people joined Mordecai in this time of prayer, of seeking God, all of a sudden now this courage rises up in her, this boldness, this purpose, because she says, you know what? Maybe God has me in this position for a reason, and if I perish, I perish, but I'm going to go. I'm going to go, and I'm going to do God's will. I'm going to go there and allow God to use me to deliver his people. But she says, fast for me 3 days. And you know, when I thought about this, her gift was a God-given gift. She was beautiful. The Bible says she was of lovely figure and beautiful. But guess what? Your gift is not enough. Her gift was not enough. It wasn't until the people prayed that something rose up inside of her and gave her the courage. And she too became a warrior. What you see here are prayer warriors. This is what you see, prayer warriors. They let out the war cry along with Mordecai. But something changes. And then along with that comes the courage, the boldness, purpose, calling. But then God gives her wisdom and a strategy to go before the king. So on the third day, after all the fasting and the praying, God gives her wisdom, God gives her strategy, and now she presents herself right in the palace, not too far away from the king where he can see her. The door is kind of like ajar. And now I got to tell you, He was taken up with her. He was bedazzled with her beauty. So he catches a glimpse of her, and he extends his scepter, right, to tell her, okay, you can come. She touches the scepter, and he calls her over to himself. And look at the answer. All because the people were praying. God starts a movement. They start a movement. God starts moving things around. And listen to what the king says. Can we have the next? Thank you. Says, Queen Esther, what is your petition? It will be given you. What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted. Then Queen Esther answered, if I have found favor with you, your majesty, and if it pleases you, grant me my life. This is my petition, and spare my people. This is my request. Everything turned around. Everything. That's the power of prayer. That's the weapon that God has given us today. That's the weapon. I don't have a sword. I don't have a helmet. I don't have a breastplate. But I can pray. And like, and here we see this kind of praying. The Bible speaks about fasting and praying, getting breakthrough. It's a breakthrough prayer. They needed a breakthrough. They needed to break through. You know, like think of a wall. You're pressing, and you got to break through. It takes energy. But it's all worth it because they get the deliverance. They get the answer. And it doesn't look pretty. You know, I have a friend, we laugh because, you know, there's the pretty cry and then there's the ugly cry. And can I tell you, I have the ugly cry. You know, the ugly cry is when your face, you know, gets all contorted and then your makeup gets all messed up. And then this is the pretty cry when the tears just roll down your face. I wish I could do that. Then, you know, it would be fine. But Jesus says in his days of when he was on earth, he let out with cries, bitter cries. What are you going through? What are you going through? You know, I didn't put this verse down, but it says that when she goes to the king the second time, because there was a strategy behind how she got her request, she told the king, how can I stay quiet? How can I not do anything? This is my family. These are my people. Do you feel like that about your situation this morning? This is your son. This is your daughter. This is your marriage. This is your, you know, men, your livelihood. I know men identify a lot of times with their livelihood and providing for their family. God can turn things around. And they let me end with this. It says, on the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, the edict commanded by the king was to be carried out. He now sent out a new decree eradicating the previous one. It says, on this day, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them. But now the tables were turned and the Jews got the upper hand over those who hated them. All in answer to prayer. It says, the Jews assembled in their cities and all the provinces of King Xerxes to attack those determined to destroy them. And no one could stand against them. No one could stand against them. Ephesians chapter 6, when it talks about that our battle is not against flesh and blood, right? Five times Paul uses the word stand against. Against. We have what's stacked up against us is the evil spirits in the heavy places. What's stacked against is powers of darkness. What's stacked up against. And look at this, when people pray, no one could stand up against them. Is God good or is God good? You are a child of God today. You belong to him. He wants to give us the victories. He doesn't want us to stand by the sidelines. He wants to move in your life in answer to prayer. And I'm not saying you're going to come here and, you know, if that's what it takes, then so be it. You know, one of the things about Mordecai, too, he wasn't too concerned about his reputation. You know, a lot of us are very concerned about reputation, how we look, how we sound. What do they think of us? Who cares? You only have one person to please, and that is God himself and the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Paul says all kinds of prayer. Doesn't mean that it has, but what does it require when you're in a battle? There's a certain attire that you wear, and this is what we see in Esther. They were fighting for their lives. You know, and this is not far-fetched. I would say over a year ago, maybe more than a year ago, we were hearing in the news about Christians being beheaded and women being raped and children. Christians, like you and me. This is what was going to happen to them. It says they were going to go in, destroy every woman, every man, every Jewish person, and not only kill them, but take their possessions. Don't let the devil take your possessions. Don't let the Bible says he's like a thief, that he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But God came to give us life and victory and abundance. Amen? Amen. I want to read this. If you can put the last slide there. Samuel Chadwick. Now, Samuel Chadwick is a Methodist preacher from England. I would say maybe over 100 years. And look what he writes. Satan dreads nothing but prayer. His one concern is to keep the saints from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil. He mocks our wisdom. But he trembles when we pray. He trembles when we pray. If the musicians can come, you can put the next slide on. You see, but this is the most awesome part about this. That God goes before us. That God is victor. Jesus is victor. He won everything on the cross. He said, "It is finished." And God is the one that goes before. Jesus is the captain of the armies. And we are his army. We're soldiers today. Let's read Isaiah 42:13. Look what it says. The Lord himself will march out like a champion. Like a warrior, he will stir up his zeal. And you know what zeal is? Zeal is bubbly. Zeal is contagious. Zeal is hot, is fervent, is intense. In Spanish, we say caliente. The Lord himself stirs up his zeal, his own zeal. He's for us. All morning, if you maybe paid attention a little bit, every song was about, you know, he's for us. I am a child of God. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. That's what Mordecai knew. That's what the Jewish people knew. Do we know that today as God's people? Do we know that today? And listen to what he says. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry. And will triumph over his enemies. The Lord himself. You know, it's almost like Mordecai is the Lord. He sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. So Mordecai is the Lord. And we're the Jewish people. And we just join in because the Lord is the one that marches out in the battle. The battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. But can we join him? Can we join him? Can we accept his invitation this morning? And join him. Why don't we stand? Let's stand. And we're going to sing. Polo's going to lead us in Our God. And I want that to be your battle cry this morning. Will you make that your battle cry? Whatever you're facing today. Whatever it is. God knows. You fill in the blank. And you give out that war cry. And you tell Satan, get thee behind me. In the name of Jesus. You draw that line with the blood of Christ, and you say, no more, no more in my marriage. And guess what? Your husband, your wife, your child, whatever, your boss, they're not the enemies. So we're going to draw that line, and when Polo, you shout it out, brother. You shout it out. We're going to shout it out, and we're going to believe God for the victory. Amen?
Amen.
Right? God is going to give us the victory. Polo, if you can lead us.